Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. With the inauguration of President Barack Obama, we entered the age of the digital presidency. The president blogs, he tweets, he has a BlackBerry. The weekly radio address has evolved from the fireside chat to YouTube. Yep, the Obama presidency was, quote, born digital. But it wasn't always this way. When John F. Kennedy ushered in the 60s, statesmen communicated with typewriters and telegrams, and his presidency was largely considered the first televisual one by presidential historians. Well, since then, the public has had to access most of the Kennedy files for years, but you had to actually go to the records to read them. Those are the historic files, of course, left behind by President John F. Kennedy. That is no longer. The John F. Kennedy Library has undertaken the arduous task of digitizing its massive collection of Kennedy archives, and now you can research, browse, or just nose around from the comfort of your own desktop. WBUR.org reporter Andrew Phelps has been doing just that, and he joins us now to tell us what he found. Hi there, Andrew.
Hi, Meghna. Good afternoon.
So presidents have always had very expansive libraries and archives. What's new about this particular project?
Well, by far, this is the most expansive digitization of presidential records, records from an analog era, no less. I asked that question to Tom Putman, the JFK Presidential Library director.
A number of libraries similar to ours have put up iconic photos or, the most important documents. What is different about this is first the vastness and then the size of the number of items that we have digitized.
So we're talking 200,000 pages of documents, 1,200 audio recordings, 1,500 photos, and it's all searchable. I don't mean like Dewey Decimal searchable, I mean Google searchable. So anyone living anywhere in the country can browse the era of Camelot, including those youngins born in the Obama administration who might not otherwise be interested enough to take the trip to Dorchester.
Although the view of Boston Harbor from there is unmatched.
That's true.
And you have to actually go down there
it's
to
beautiful.
See it. But still, so what are in the actual archives that have been digitized?
Well, it's not just the presidential memoranda and the letters. There are photographs, speeches, film footage, recordings of phone conversations. I pulled up one between JFK and former President Dwight Eisenhower. It's October 1962, and Kennedy is looking for advice on how to deal with a missile crisis in Cuba.
General, what about if the Soviet Union Khrushchev announces tomorrow, which I think he will, that if we attack Cuba that it's going to be nuclear war? What's your judgment as to the chances they'll fire these things off if we invade Cuba?
I don't believe it will.
You don't think they will? In other words, you would take that risk if the situation seemed desirable.
As a matter of fact, though, what can you do?
Huh. What can you do? It is phenomenal to be able to hear that, and you can hear that from the comfort of your own home
it's
now.
It's amazing. And, of course, we didn't go to nuclear war.
Well, it is terrific that we actually have access to all this archival material. Like you said earlier, the public has had access if you wanted to go to the library. So are we learning anything new about the Kennedy presidency?
Right. It was public before, so there aren't any startling new revelations about the Kennedy presidency. But it's an opportunity to make new connections, to connect material that might have lived in different folders or different places that you didn't see. I talked to one of the archivists on the project, James Roth, who's also the deputy director of the library. I asked him, what's your favorite object? And he said it would be impossible to pick one, and here's why.
The beauty of seeing all of these different documents is that you get a sense that there is no one moment of that's when a decision was made. It's the process. It's the context of the documents and how individual ideas were formed and how they changed.
So one of his favorite examples is following the evolution of the famous inaugural speech, which was 50 years ago next week, by the way. You can see the late Ted Sorensen's original draft with JFK's notes in the margins and how the ask not line began as ask not what your country is going to do for you. In a series of drafts, you can see Kennedy deciding that the word can is the word for that famous line.
So cool. The flow of history now
at
your fingertips. What else have you run across?
A lot of lesser-known historical moments, audio of an address to the nation in September 62. The Supreme Court had just ordered the University of Mississippi to admit a black student, James Meredith. The president tried to assert the authority of the courts, but also reassure a divided country.
Americans are free and sure to disagree with the law, but not to disobey it. For in a government of laws and not of men, no man, however prominent or powerful, and no mob, however unruly or boisterous, is entitled to defy a court of law.
It's so perfectly Kennedy, and it's masterful because he avoids getting political about a very hot issue while still asking people in Mississippi to let this previously ordinary and unknown young man get an equal shot in an education.
So how much of the archive, Andrew, has actually been digitized? Is it the whole thing, most of it?
Oh, my goodness. So yesterday on my blog, Hubbub, I erroneously wrote that this is most of that collection, and I was not even close. Here's the archivist, James Roth, again.
This is one half of 1% of our collections that have been put online so far. We're expecting to continue on through the next few decades, and hopefully, as technology increases, we'll be able to put more and more material up faster.
Decades!
One half of 1%?
You and I will be in the archives by the time they're done. Earlier I said 200,000 pages are digitized, an awesome number. That's out of 48 million pages,
and those
are just the pages that are unsealed and declassified. So the huge challenge here is not so much the hand scanning, and they do wear gloves and scan each document by hand. They don't use auto feeders. The challenge is the metadata, which is describing these materials so that humans can search them. You know, if you're looking at a picture of Kennedy and a bunch of men in suits, you have to know who those men in suits are. You have to be absolutely right, and you have to put all of that text into the data that accompanies the photo so that people like you and me can search for it. So everything's tagged, just like on a blog. I could type in Eisenhower and find every possible material related to Eisenhower. It's pretty expansive, so yeah, it'll be a long time before they're done.
It is such a laudable effort on the part of the JFK Library, true democratizing of this incredible archive. Andrew Phelps, blogger for WBUR.org, our Hubbub blog. Maybe we can have you back in 40 years when all of that digitizing is done.
Yeah, I don't think so. By the way, all online at jfklibrary.org, and we put up some of the highlights at wbur.org/Boston, including Kennedy's rather unimpressive application to Harvard.
I have to check that out. It's an armchair historian's dream come true. Andrew Phelps, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Up next, a play about the effects of war in the Congo. So we're going to take the tone down a little bit, but it's absolutely worth listening to. We'll be back after a short break. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.